Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 42. It's the answer to everything. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. What's up, internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 42, recorded on February 5th and 6th, 2016, brought to you by the Happy Hour Network and RayRay.net. I am your sexy party host, Ray Morali, also known as Ray Ray. It's been a couple of weeks. Sorry for not having any podcast episodes, but I had some things to take care of. But now we're all good, and we can get on with the show. And if you never listened to this podcast before, and if you don't know who I am mostly known as an NBA online writer. We talk a lot of NBA in this podcast, but I will dabble on other things most of the time, like other sports, music, pop culture, wrestling, video games, life in general. And I have two specific segments. Segment called Kicking It Old School with Ray Ray and EJ, my friend EJ Christian from the Earnestly Speaking podcast, where we talk about nostalgic stuff from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. And we have Girl Talk with the Gal Pal Squad, where we talk about whatever comes to mind, but we have a woman's perspective on things. And speaking of EJ, he is taking the guest role for this show. My normal co-host Adam Jacoby is not in this episode, but he'll be back on the next one. But before we get to EJ, I just want to remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show on Stitcher and RayRay.net, and you can syndicate the show on the Happy Hour Network. Follow me on Twitter at the NoLookPass. Follow the podcast on Twitter at RayRayIsFun. And don't forget to go to the NoLookPass.com and TJRWrestling.net for all my other work in terms of the NBA and WWE. That's all I got. Listen to me and EJ talk about the Super Bowl, tennis, NBA, and something nostalgic. And then we'll turn it over to the Gal Pal Squad for more Super Bowl talk. We good? Good. Scratch. Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 42, recorded on late night, February 5th, 2016. My guest, at least taking this role for this episode, my good buddy from the Kicking It Old School with Ray Ray and EJ, from the Earnestly Speaking Podcast, EJ Christian, what's up?
Ray Moraldi, baby. And it's funny, I feel like we're about to do an extended version of the old school. By the way, man, I really apologize for not being able to be on the last couple shows, man, to do the stuff, man. And the schedule has been really hectic on my end as of late, but I really do miss our banter, you know, 50-minute banter of anything that goes of pop culture and nostalgia.
So let's get on with this, because I know you've been dying to talk about this, and I think you just watched it recently, and I haven't, but...
Old school with Ray Ray and EJ.
Star
Wars. Okay, you're gonna laugh. I have not seen the movie. I still have not seen the movie yet.
Well, I haven't either. And here's a reason for this, okay? Like, I've said this story a few times and probably any other media platform out there, but I kinda have an aversion to Star Wars, and I actually watched the trilogy for the first time the summer of 2013, and I live tweeted it too. So people were just like, "What the hell? You just watched Star Wars for the first time? What is wrong with you?"
That is kind of shocking. Although I will say, up until recently, it was the first time I watched the original three in probably close to 30 years. Like I'm almost 36, and I think the last time I saw the original Star Wars was probably the late '80s. I did see the newer ones that came out in the late 90s and 2000s in theaters, and I really couldn't stand them. I really couldn't stand them, to be honest with you. I only went because I was forced to do it, and one of the sons I had to go was to take my little brother to go because he wasn't able to go himself. So I went with him, and I did not like it either. But recently, right before the movie came out, the new movie came out, I actually watched the original three, so it was really the last three before the new one. People be confused by that. I watched it with my wife and my son, actually. And I was reminded why I liked it so much. I mean, by the way, you know, we We actually had a very Star Wars-y themed Christmas too. My family, like, mm-hmm. all the gifts we got were like related to Star Wars. My son got a bunch of Star Wars T-shirts and figures, and he's only 2 years old, turning 3 in April. So I mean, it was mm-hmm. kind of a cool experience to see him, you know, really get to see that. I, by the way, I don't know if you saw my Snapchat recently this week. I was in mm-hmm. Target. I snapped a video of me and my son in Target. And I was showing him, you know, hey, what's this? He goes, EBA. And then I go, who's this? He goes, ah, Twitter. I don't know if you saw that. It was on Snapchat on Monday, actually, a couple days ago.
That's awesome. Yeah. So here's the thing. Like, before 2013, I probably wouldn't know any of these Star Wars things. Like, I know the Force. I know the characters. But, like, I would have no idea what Tatooine was or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So now that I watched the trilogy, like, they're good movies. I'm not gonna go out of my way to be like, oh my god, this is the greatest ever, but they're good movies. And here's the reason why I have an aversion to this. I guess unconsciously maybe, I'm not even sure, because I wouldn't go out of my way to watch Star Wars at all. Like, I'm not gonna be like, oh my god, it's Star Wars, I must watch it. No, I'm not like that. So, my name is Ray. Right? We all know that, my name is Ray. So,
hey, Ray.
Hey, how's it going? What's up? So, I'm the fifth child of five. I'm the youngest kid. And ahead of me, the oldest are two girls, and then there's two guys ahead of me. So, you know, the fifth one, they wanted it to be a girl. This is 1977 when my mom, 1978 when my mom got pregnant, right? At the time, Star Wars was still big, and they wanted a girl. And they were convinced that they were going to name the girl Leia.
Oh my god. I see, you know what? I see where the story's going right now. And I think, let me see, keep going.
So, much to their disappointment, I turned out to be a boy. And they decided that since, well, we can't name this guy Leia, so they went for the closest thing, I guess, and it's Rey.
Reyes fundamental.
Yeah, funny. I haven't heard that before.
So there's that.
Okay. Now let's jump 35 years later, 2014. Right. Okay. And the pictures were coming out of the new characters of The Force Awakens. Awesome. And then I was sent one of the pictures. Right. Hey, guess what? Look at this. It's a picture of Rey in a speeder. It's a woman. So now I'm just kind of like, is this series playing a joke on me or something? What's going on here? So, yeah, I kind of have I don't know if you want to say a love-hate relationship with this franchise, because
I can understand where you're coming from. I'm not up with the particulars and, like, having that kind of scenario, but I can understand why you would feel a bit bittered and jaded by the Star Wars franchise, just based on those circumstances that we have no control over. You know what I'm saying? I can understand why you would be, this is bad. You know what? Maybe we should leave this alone. I get it. I totally get it.
I don't hate Star Wars, but, again, I don't love it. I don't, like, really... I'm a self-professed nerd. I love video games. I love anime. I love wrestling. I like a lot of things. But, you know, and usually... It's like, oh, so you must like Star Wars too, since you like all those sort of things, right? No, not really. I'm not much of a Star Wars guy at all.
And that is kind of shocking too, because like, people who are into wrestling, like there's something we're into, like wrestling and old school nostalgic kind of stuff, naturally mm-hmm. you say, oh, Star Wars falls in line with that too. But it really, I guess in your case, it didn't fall in line. And for the record, I'm not really the biggest Star Wars fan in the world. I'm not like, you know, upset. You know, I hadn't watched the movies in over a decade, maybe almost two decades. So mm-hmm. to say that I'm obsessed with the movies is to be completely, you know, I'm completely false. In fact, I can mm-hmm. argue, and I can tell you this right now, I love baseball more than Star Wars. In fact, I credit baseball as the reason why I stayed interested in Star Wars, because mm-hmm. I saw that first before Star Wars was baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
baseball
I understand.
Star Wars, actually.
I understand the cultural impact of Star Wars. Like, in 76, I mean 77, that's a great movie. Like, it's really good. Like, all the special effects and all that stuff, that's amazing for 1977. You know? So, I can definitely understand the cultural impact of Star Wars. Like, I don't discredit it at all. It's just that when it came to circumstances, I could have been Leia in an alternate universe. So there's that.
By the way, speaking of Princess Leia, you know, I can understand. Like, I had a crush on her too as a child. I mean, not only that, to make it worse, I had bed sheets as a kid, and she was one of the, you know, the figurines on my bed sheets. So. I think one of the hardest things I'm going to see when I eventually go see the movie, one of the hardest things I'm going to have to figure out is the fact that Princess Leia ain't Princess Leia anymore. Princess Leia is actually a grandma. You know what I'm saying? So, and I'll be honest with you, a lot of people have not so much a performance, but a lot of people have knocked the way she looks. Like, people are saying that she hasn't aged that well. You know, which, you know, I think that's kind of mean, and, I don't know, I think it's kind of, you know, typical 2015, 60-ish millennials talking absolute shit about people. And I don't know. I can't really relate to that, to be honest with you. But I will say it will be a bit of an adjustment too, right? But I do watch the movie and notice that Han Solo's in the 70s and, you know, and Princess Leia's in their late 50s, early 60s.
Yeah. I mean, let's be realistic here. You know what I mean? I mean, Princess Leia was like 39 years ago, really, so,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
that's a long time, and to this day, it still holds a powerful hold on pop culture today,
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's my Star Wars rant right there. Yeah, take that to your grave, Rey, Princess Leia, Morality.
Oh my god.
It's Kristen Ledlow from NBA Inside Stuff, and I was once on the Rey Reyes Fundamental Podcast. Once. That was enough.
So the Super Bowl's tomorrow. By the time you hear this, it's Saturday. Actually, it's already Saturday. So,
Bowl's tomorrow. It is Saturday. I'm both coast now, yeah. Of course, I'm actually recording this on your end, on my end, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, Saturday morning, and you're actually just about crossed midnight. So, yeah.
Yeah, I just crossed midnight, yeah. So, you know, I've documented in the past podcasts or even on Twitter that I haven't watched football as much as I have in the past 20 years or so. Although I probably watched more this year than last year, honestly. But you know, the Broncos and the Panthers are in the playoff. Are in the Super Bowl. So, real quick, who's your pick, man?
My pick. It's funny. Like if you go based on what we last seen, I mean, the easy pick is Carolina, and I think they will win the game. But I don't think. The people will figure to be blowout. That will be a blowout, I think, very misguided. I think this game might be a lot closer. If I'm the betting man, which I am actually. if I'm betting spreads, of course, Carolina's 6-point favorite, I would actually bet Denver on the points to keep it in close. The under. I think it'd be a low scoring game. I think it's gonna be a defensive battle that Carolina will still win because I think Carolina has more weapons. And I think the weapons Carolina has on offense, especially Cam Newton, and what he can do on the field, I think is so much of an advantage that he has that even if he was with Denver, can be at times figured out. And I think the Panthers win 20-16.
Mm-hmm. Both teams have excellent defenses, but obviously at this point, Peyton Manning is probably playing the last game of his career here, and
yeah.
Cam Newton is entering the prime of his career. So I think just based on that, I would have to pick Carolina.
Right. Peyton Manning is at this point now barely a game manager. He's alive. I mean, to be honest, I hate to say this, but I do respect the game of Peyton Manning, what he's done with his league. He's been a great basketball league for the last 18 seasons, or whatever, 17 seasons, how long he's played. You know, but at the same time, he's almost a borderline liability. Now, I will say this, though, he has played very well in the postseason. He's played good enough to not lose games, but...
But that's a problem, though. Good enough.
Yeah,
I don't think good enough
like Carolina,
is...
You're,
yeah.
Like, the key here for the... you know, I know we don't do much football talking in the podcast, but... you know,
go ahead.
Hector knows the football, but let me say something right now. If Carolina gets up on Denver early, like they did against Seattle, like they did against Arizona, after that. Mm-hmm. If Carolina gets a big lead early against Denver, this game's over. Because Peyton Manning, you're now forcing the security that Peyton Manning would use in the game, like, you know, running the football, of course, using the running backs and more ball control, that down is no longer available. Because now you're forced to throw the ball, which means if Peyton Manning throws the ball, more opportunities to turn them awoke. So
more ducks, more ducks,
more ducks, more quackers. Yes, yes. More
yes,
fluttering ducks in the air. More noodle arm. And you don't want, if it's ever, you don't want that. And like I said, if what happened 2 years ago against Seattle happens, even in the slightest against Carolina, because remember, the difference between 2 years ago and now is that you have a much worse Peyton Manning now than you did 2 years ago. If that happens, this game is over. And it's all over early.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go the score of, let's go with 27-17. 10 points for Carolina. I'll go with that.
So you beat the focus spread and you take the over. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I'm not much of a betting guy, so.
I know.
Alright, so, I talked to you about tennis off the record for a little bit. Like, you didn't know that Serena Williams lost the Australian Open.
Australian Open?
Yeah, the Australian Open. Serena Williams lost. Yeah.
I actually didn't watch it this year. I normally watch. I watch all the major events. I guess I try to. You know, especially when Serena and Venus were in there, and some of the big names always in there.
Yeah.
You know, it, when she loses, it's like a big deal. It's not a big deal to lose an event, but a lot of people make it all because it's Serena. You're a lot of people in the year. I mean, come on, it's no big deal. You know.
Well, it just feels, you know what's great about Serena is that she sustained this greatness for so long. She's, what, 34 years old, and she's still kicking ass in tennis.
I think it's safe to say now that if she's not already, she's already the greatest female tennis player to play. I mean, certainly you can say that for a long time, a couple other people, but I think Serena now was, I think sustainability of Serena Williams was the last 15 years. Longer actually than 15 years, but, you know, as definitely means being her case, and the fact that she almost broke the record last year for, you know, what was it, the major record?
Both Grand Slams, Steffi Graf, yeah. Steffi Graf.
Yeah. I mean, she's really the Tiger Woods of the sport, if you think about it, you know, from the
female
perspective.
Yeah, like 2 years ago, like, I remember getting to this argument because people were already saying Serena's the greatest of all time, and I'm like, let's wait a couple more years and see if she can sustain this. Then I can say, okay, fine, she's the greatest, right?
She's done that. And she's done that.
And 2 years later, here she is, 21 Grand Slams, one short of Steffi Graf's record, and she's doing it at 34 years old, which is incredible.
And the game, I mean, seriously, I think the game is really competitive. I think there's a lot of good tennis out there. There's a lot of the competitors that are in her division, and you know, so she's not, it's not like she's doing it against, like, you know, scrubs. There's some really legitimate tennis players out there that who get her challenges. I mean, who beat her on any given match, you know? So, you know, you have to give her credit. I mean, Serena's definitely great, and I think she's already there as being a GOAT in terms of the female, in terms of sport. I know I don't want to sound premature a little bit, but, I mean, she's been doing this for a long time now, and I think at some point you have to preside yourself to the fact that, hey, listen, she's just great. She's really great.
Right. Let's give props to Angelique Kerber, though, for winning her first Grand Slam against Serena. She played an amazing game, and Serena wasn't Serena in that game. Like, she had so many unforced errors during the finals, but, you know, it's just basically delaying the inevitable. Like, she'll get 22 at some point, you know?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that.
Yeah. But I will always think, despite Steffi Graf's dominant run in the 90s, I will always think, what if Monica Seles never got stabbed? I will always think about that.
Oh, my gosh.
It's so horrible because it was between Seles and Graf, right? It was between those two. And, you know, that just stopped Seles right there in her tracks. Like, she was starting to win Grand Slams. And, you know, I'm not saying that it wouldn't have, that it would have stopped Graf's really, like, sustained dominant run for the long haul. But, you know, it only really helped her because, you know, it's there's no more number one contender at that point. You know, it was between those two.
I think outside Serena, I think it was the most dominant person. The only people I've really been able to really watch at their peak and truly appreciate was Steffi Graf. Steffi Graf was amazing.
Yeah, she was.
At her peak, you know. Now she didn't do it as long as Serena, obviously, but she's definitely, there's like a good 5-6 year period where she was just as big and dominant as a tennis player as we've seen in the sport. So.
Yeah,
and Seles too. Especially Seles, when in my early, you know, years, her winning majors and her winning, you know, big matches and stuff. And, you know, that was a good. I mean, there's been a really good run of women's tennis in the last 20 years. A really good run.
Yeah,
it's a very undervalued sport in this country.
I can say in the men's side also, like the last 15-16 years have been really good. Well, like the big four that's been called, Federer, Nadal, Andy Murray, and obviously now Djokovic. Like, Djokovic has been so dominant the last 3 years, which is, you know, really cool. And do you think he beats Federer's record? He's at 11 Grand Slams right now, and he could beat Federer's record in 2 years.
Federer has what? How many majors?
17.
It's very possible. I mean, it's just hard. I mean, you have to really do a math there.
Four Grand Slams per year. Yeah.
That's four per year. Yeah. He could do it. It's just hard. I mean, look at Serena. I mean, Serena could have done, I mean, to win three in a year is amazing.
It's amazing.
So, four, I mean,
yeah.
And like I said, I think the competition today in both men's and women's tennis is very good. I think it's very good. So we have to give credit to not just the actual dominant forces in the game, but also people who are surrounded. You know, because if you're going to do that and still do those things in the sport in a time where it is still a pretty dominant, you know, pretty balanced sport in terms of the competition, then, you know, you have to give credit to what credit's due. So I don't think it'll be in 2 years, first off. If he does it, it will be 2 years. It'll probably be in the next 5 years, but not 2 years. I think it's so hard to sustain that kind of excellence in those moments. And
right.
40 years, I mean, come on, 40 years, you're asking for a lot there, man. Look, 2 years is great. 3 is like, wow. So 4? I mean, whew.
I cannot remember the last time anyone did 4 in men's. I know Stefan Graf did women's in 4 in a calendar year. I know that. But men's, I don't know if it's been done. But we'll see how Djokovic does in the next 2-3 years. And again, he's 6 short of Federer's right now. Keeping on the old school topic here, who is your first favorite tennis player?
First tennis player?
Yeah, that you liked.
Wow. I want to say Jimmy Connors, but... McEnroe was kind of a jerk.
Well,
and for me,
nothing new
like,
there.
Ah, you're a jerk. I don't like you. I think Jimmy Connors, honestly, was the first one I actually gravitated to. I can say, hey, Jimmy Connors, hey, what's up, man?
Yeah.
I guess Fellas, really. Fellas and Graf both, I think, were the two I really, I actually appreciated the female side more than the male side growing up.
I
didn't really, Agassi was good, but I wasn't like, oh my god, Roger Agassi, oh my god, yeah, you know.
Yeah. I was a Boris Becker guy, which is funny now because he's coaching Djokovic at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously Michael Chang, as I got more Asian pride in my teenage years. Michael Chang, yeah.
He's right on the radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a top player.
Uh-huh. And on the female side, obviously I like Celis, and Graf was amazing. And I had a little crush on Gabriella Sabatini. So.
Oh, she was so hot.
I think you can find her on... I think you can find her on Twitter. I think I looked her up recently. I don't know. Maybe we should like look her up on Twitter.
You asked me my favorite player in the era. I think my favorite player was Steffi Graf's legs. Oh, she has some nice legs.
Well, as an athlete, I think you should have nice legs. Like, that's almost like an automatic.
Yeah,
right?
but there's legs and there's Steffi Graf's legs. Come on now. So you need
This is Alex Kennedy from Basketball Insiders, and you're listening to Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast.
Let's talk some basketball before I let you go. See, here's the thing. Like, I'm getting a lot of lamenting from a few NBA writers here that they said this season is not as good as recent years. Is it? Do you agree with that, or do you like the way? Do you like the way the Warriors and Spurs are dominating right now?
I gotta be honest with you. I'm actually working on this. It's funny you mentioned that because I'm working on a column on that. You know, I don't want everyone to say that because I love the NBA basketball. I don't want to insult the game. But these games do count. I hate people who sit there and say that the season doesn't matter because it does. Because after San Antonio Spurs last year, if they wish they get two games back to get the 2 seed next last year in the playoffs. But it does feel like after Golden State streak ended, you know, and outside of their quest for 72, there's really nothing to talk about. There's no villain. There's nothing really. Well, I think right now in the NBA season right now is just a waiting room for the playoffs at this point. And to be honest, it feels like a foregone conclusion that Cleveland East, I mean, nobody really is in a challenge. I mean, even Toronto playing great, I don't see them challenging Cleveland in the Eastern Conference. And then you have obviously the two teams, you know, in the West in San Antonio and in Golden State. I think the only team, we may see a little bit of a shakeup in conversation moving forward tonight, because it's Saturday. If Oklahoma City actually beats Golden State in Golden State on national television tonight, that might actually spark some conversation about Oklahoma City's standing in the among the elite. Because I still have doubts about Oklahoma City. As great as they're playing, and maybe they've been playing phenomenal. Durant, he's back. Durant's back. The injury, then you know the foot injury and the issues. Well, now in February, he's healthy. So we're not worried about that anymore. You know, Westbrook's been great, of course. Their entire roster, you know, those trades they made last year to solidify a lot of their, that roster has really paid off. I mean, they actually have a balanced roster behind the three guys of Durant, Westbrook, and Ibaka. And I think if Oklahoma City can win against Golden State tonight, I think that can start sparking some conversation about, you know, whether OKC could be the next team in the on the pecking order, you know, because right now all we've been talking about for the last like 3-4 months is about San Antonio, Golden State, and Cleveland.
Right. Yeah. And shout out to Stoddy Drippin, who was a guest on this podcast like months ago, but he said that the Warriors should not go for 73 and just rest their guys. Do you agree with that?
No, I think we have a chance to do something that's historic. You go for it. I never believe that stuff, man. I mean, look, you have one chance to do something. You can't let the fear of injury and a fear of things that you can't control stop you from doing something that's historic. What did you? Look at the Bulls. The Bulls in 1996. They went through the whole thing, and they won the whole thing too in the process. I mean, why? I don't believe in that kind of stuff, man. I think we got to the point now, today's basketball and today's sports and today's commentary, where we overlook things. We look too much at the things that, you know, rest the guys, because that is one point. And I get it, you know, but you have a chance to make history, man. 72 wins is phenomenal. I never thought that Lakers record would ever been broken. The 69 wins in 72. I thought that was there to stay. And then Jordan and the Bulls beat them by 3 games. Okay? And we have many teams that we have flirted with 67 wins and 68 wins and 69 wins. You know, if you have a sense of history, you go for it, man. Absolutely go for it.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that the Bulls won 69 the next season, which is amazing.
That's the phenomenal thing of the Bulls. They were so good because they almost did it again the second year during the season. So, yeah, it's amazing what that franchise with Jordan, you know, it's incredible, man. I mean, look, if you're the Warriors, look, you want to be among the history. Look, you will be recognized as a great team no matter what. But if you can be, you know, do something that's way, I mean, that makes you stand out from the rest of the pack, you go for it, man. Absolutely go for it.
Yeah, so one last topic, because, you know, I've seen a lot of national writers talk about this, and obviously all the local media here in L.A., most of them think that he should go, but what do you think of Byron Scott's handling of the Lakers? Because pretty much, like, I guess basketball Twitter says he should go, but it's so funny how the channel that houses the Lakers, Time Warner Sports, are protecting the hell out of Byron Scott. Of course, James Worthy will never talk smack about his teammate, but they're protecting the hell out of him. So what do you think?
Well, that's because of the fact that Byron Scott, the former Laker, was one of the one of the, you know, core guys that helped them win championships in the 80s. So, Byron Scott come hell high water, regardless of what people think of him today, Byron Scott's still a guy that was a part of the Magic, Kareem, worthy, you know, Showtime era Lakers that was a key component in them winning more championships. So, yeah, there's some of that. And I haven't watched a lot of Laker games this year, to be honest with you, outside maybe a few. But from what the team, the people I trust that cover the team, the people I trust that watch the Lakers who are fans, that are fans and know the game, you know, and some of the things I've heard and narratives I've heard, it's a terrible job he's doing out there. I mean, the fact that he won't, I mean, early in the year he wouldn't play D'Angelo Russell, and I don't know if that's actually been fixed now since then, but you know this is a rebuilding year. You know, why the hell, you know, and why would you want to bench D'Angelo Russell, knowing the minutes, time on the court and minutes are going to help the kid? You know, things like that. I get the fact that this is not a good roster, which I thought, it's funny, in hindsight, funny to say that now, because I mean, 4 years we started, I thought the team was first for 8 spot in the Western Conference. And clearly they're not, nowhere close to that. But I think Byron Scott's philosophy now on basketball is dated. I think a lot of it is now, it was good in 2002, 2001 with the Nets when it was the two finals, in 03 rather, was the finals with Jason Kidd or whatever. But his philosophy now is no longer resonates on today's NBA. You know, he's running a very dated system. His entire philosophy is dated. And I think, I'm not one to call for firings. And I think I always believe a coach deserves at least 3-4 years to input their entire, system in place, but I don't see any other way. I don't see any light in the tunnel with Byron Scott, even without Kobe. I mean, to be honest with you, you can sit there and blame Kobe Bryant for everything else, but I don't think Kobe has nothing to do with the failures this year. Nothing to do with it.
Yeah, Byron's a coach, and he can control Kobe's minutes, and he can say no to whatever Kobe does, but no, of course not. They're friends, so he's not going to say anything. And as for D'Angelo Russell, he's getting consistent minutes, but he doesn't play in the clutch, which is, I think, an abomination, because that's when you want him to get
serious.
Yeah,
you're a 9-win team. What are you holding him back for?
Yeah.
A 9-win team. I don't get that.
Lou Williams plays in his place. And there's kind of a reason why a lot, like you said, they'd win 40 games, and a lot of others think they'd go for a playoff spot. There's kind of a reason why the Lakers went after Roy Hibbert, Lou Williams, Brandon Bass. They're trying to make the playoffs this season. That's the only reason why.
They're the better remaining team. Of course they were.
Yeah. So, I just don't understand why he wouldn't play D'Angelo Russell. And of course, bench Julius Randle, who was probably the best Laker in the beginning of the season. Then he sat him down, then he started to struggle. You know? And Russell is actually probably been the best all-around player this season for the Lakers. On both sides of the ball. He's not an elite athlete, but he can stay on defense, and he's a fearless driver, you know, only when Byron says he's not trying to take over the game. You know, so it sucks that he's always looking over his shoulder. And for all intents and purposes, he's a nice kid. I talked to the kid, and he's really nice, really humble, and he doesn't sound like the type of guy that would get in trouble either. So I don't understand this. Like, it's frustrating to me as a Laker fan and as a basketball fan, because, as you mentioned, Byron Scott is just dated, stuck in the 80s and 90s. I don't know, not that I should be talking because I'm stuck in the 80s and 90s too, but you know what I mean.
Get a good face.
Right. So, yeah, I think because we don't have much time left, because I know you got to go somewhere, but...
Yeah, real quick, though, real quick on Byron Scott, though, also, too. I just think that... Okay, post Kobe, do you see Byron Scott as a guy that you can put down building block? I don't see him as a guy. I mean, this year he's had opportunities to implement some of the young players and develop them properly, and I have not seen any signs that make you think he can do that without Kobe either. So that's why I think if there's an opportunity for the Lakers to make a move coaching wise, I think now would be the time. And I hate saying that. I love Byron Scott. He's a great guy. He's a great ambassador of the game, but if the Lakers are really trying to turn things around post Kobe, man, I think they need to reboot the entire roster.
I'm saddened because Byron Scott was absolutely one of my favorite players in the league back in the day. So to to see him coaching like this now is kind of like meeting your hero, and he's acting like a jerk to you. That's what it feels like to me right now. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like my dreams and illusions were shattered. Like, oh my god, how come he's this bad? You know?
it is a sad situation, man. It really is. And, you know, I mean, seeing Lakers like this last 3 or 4 years, I mean, in this hell. I mean, like I said, I mean, this is nowhere even close to the 90s, even when Magic left. Like, at least the Lakers in the 90s were somewhat competitive. Like, a bad year for the Lakers in the mid 90s was still 39-40 wins. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, now you're not even near 20. So, this is something that we're not used to. I'm still not used to, especially watching basketball for 25, yeah. 30 years.
Yeah. He's setting records. He set the worst record in Lakers franchise history last season, and he could set it again this season. So,
He's going to.
Yeah, you go, Byron Scott. Also, he tied the longest losing streak in Lakers franchise history, which is also co-owned by his old teammate, Magic Johnson. They lost 10 in a row when he was coaching, too.
That's right.
Yeah, so.
But Magic was smart. He got out early. He got out of that coaching thing really quick. But, not for me. I'm good.
Yeah, so, didn't you want to make an announcement or something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's not a big deal here, but, you know, I had been working on a website for the podcast, and I wanted to start expanding the podcast into, like, you know, obviously video and written form and all that stuff and whatnot, and I originally was going to do it on my own, but with the blessing of NGSC Sports, we have now made Earnestly Speaking the website now under the NGSC Sports umbrella now, so it's now part of NGSC Sports. There's actually a section now on the website dedicated to Earnestly Speaking. So basically, you get all my columns. You'll get even the contributors that come on the show and do write, who may write for me as well too. They'll be part of this thing, and we're going to be opening up a lot more things here. Opening up pop culture, opening up ideas for even political commentary. So we're really trying to expand this thing a little more. And I love the fact that NJC Sports was also, you know, willing to, you know, give me a platform. You know, it was cool that to do it on my own and my own website and try it, but the good thing here is that there's now already a foundation place with NJC Sports, so I can get more eyeballs quickly as opposed to, like, doing a brand new site from the word go. So the fact that they were able to allow me to build a sub-site on their website, you know, I can't say enough, a thank you enough to, first of all, Ralph Garcia and of course, Kyle Nash, doing the game. For making this happen, and we're in the process of doing the site now, and you can find it on ngsports.com, the tab there. We'll have an official link for earnestspeaking.net in a few weeks, hopefully, once the site's complete.
And plug your other stuff too while you're at it. Your Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, GeoCities, MySpace, I don't know what
else. GeoCities, man! Nostalgia. GeoCities, man. Does that still exist?
No.
Okay. Just curious. Twitter. EJ Christian number 7, hit me up, man. Seriously, I love conversation. Talk about anything. Politics, sports, food. I don't give a crap. Music.
Politics.
Yeah, I don't mind talking about politics. I don't mind talking about the election, especially. It's 2016. I'm excited about it. So yeah, get at me on Twitter at EJ Christian number 7. I'd love talking to you guys. Instagram too, same thing. I mean, although I don't really post there as much as I used to. I guess that's it, really, to be honest with you, to find me, really. Ernest.Christian on Facebook, .com/. The Earthling Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Find it, download it, subscribe to it, leave comments, you know, leave 5-star reviews if you can. Leave 1-star reviews if you can, I don't care. I don't give a crap. Yeah, that's it, awesome. Man. I mean, that's what's going on, pretty much. It's just same old, same old.
Awesome. EJ, always great having you here. We will talk to you again in a few days, because I'm going to have another episode out. Cool?
Yeah, so we're back with our session of getting old school. Can't wait, man.
Old school? Yep, nostalgia. Gal Pal Squad, take it away.
It's Girl Talk with the Gal Pal Squad.
It's Girl Talk with the Gal Pal Squad, and tomorrow is a huge day. Sorta, kinda. It should be a national holiday, but it's the Super Bowl tomorrow. So, I have Joanne with me, and we're going to talk a few Super Bowl-ish things, I guess. What's up, Joanne?
Super Bowl 50.
50 already? I don't know why I just thought of that right now. It's Super Bowl 50. That's a lot of Super Bowls.
A lot of Super Bowls.
Yeah, so what are you doing for your Super Bowl party, if you're going to have one or whatever? Because pretty much everyone has a Super Bowl party.
Well, I'll be going to my friends Dave and Angie's for their annual Super Bowl party. You know Dave from Twitter.
I do know Dave, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
That's always a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're a sports girl, so it's kind of like... But I'm not sure if you're all the way in for football, because I think you're more of a basketball girl, right, instead of football?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I enjoy football. I've always watched the Detroit Lions, which hasn't been... probably hasn't been one of the better choices of my life.
Yeah, because, like, you know, a lot of people are like, well, I only watch for the commercials and stuff like that. But can you, like, what was the actual last memorable commercial for Super Bowl, really? Like, I can't even think. Maybe the linebacker Terry Tate or something is the one that comes to mind at the moment.
And, like, unfortunately, the only commercial I can remember from last year is the insurance commercial with the dead kid.
Ah, oh, yeah.
It's so disturbing.
That is disturbing. Yeah, and it doesn't also help that commercials these days get out, like, a week earlier or something like that because of the internet and everything leaks nowadays early, so... Yeah, I don't know. There just haven't been too many memorable commercials. I don't know.
I bet you can guess what my favorite of all time is.
I bet you can guess what my favorite of all time is.
Bud.
Wise.
You
know, it's funny because, like, I don't... You know, I think a lot of people that we follow on Twitter is about our age group or maybe a little bit younger, right? But it's like, I've never really seen anyone else do that but us. Which is a surprise to me, because we follow a lot of people on Twitter, and I would think in our age group, that would be like one of the more relevant commercials in Super Bowl history for us, you know?
Why isn't everyone in on this? We're the only ones having fun.
I know, exactly. Like, I know a couple of them cut in on the but, like, they never started or whatever, you know? It's so weird to me, because it's so memorable! Like... My friends I think I came out with, like, what, 11th grade or something like that, when that commercial came out, we would do that in English class, when it was all quiet. Like, what? So.
Same.
Yeah, see, it stuck to us, so I don't understand why people don't do it as much. Like, we do it, like, how long have we been doing this one? Like, the last 5-6 years or something like that?
It's been a while.
In every Super Bowl, basically, that we've live-tweeted?
Because I'm just a random Thursday.
Yeah, right? We don't do it as randomly anymore. I think we did it for, like, our birthdays, and that's about it. But, like, usually every Super Bowl we do it. So
we need to do it more often.
We really do these Super Bowl often. Like, I don't know. Well, after the Super Bowl, I guess we'll see, like, maybe All-Star Weekend or something like that or whatever. But, see, the concussion issue has been talked about a lot for Super Bowl, but should we be enjoying the Puppy Bowl more often, honestly? Like, seriously, that should be the main event on Sunday, Puppy Bowl.
Puppy Bowl! Love
yeah.
it!
Yeah!
Chicken cheerleaders,
like,
meet the bird!
Yeah, exactly. I wish our dogs are in it, like Roxy should be in as, like, I don't know, inside linebacker or something, and Nala could be, I don't know, she runs really fast, so she could be the, like, receiver or something.
Oh, man. Roxy has just been, she's been crazy the last couple days. She's just been unprovoked. She just starts running back and forth down the hallway and around the house. And it's so funny.
Not the same way, too. It's like, there are days where she just does not want to be petted. It's so weird. And then sometimes she just, like, run back and forth, run in circles. And she'll run back and forth for, like, 10 minutes and then drink her water and then lay down. She's a character. Yeah, so... what was your favorite Super Bowl halftime show of all time?
Wow, that's a good question.
There's a lot out there.
Yeah. Hmm.
Michael Jackson, Britney and NSYNC and Aerosmith. New Kids on the Block.
Did Prince do one in recent years?
What's up?
Did Prince do one in recent years?
Yeah, he did, actually. And I remember, like, people getting scared, or his sponsors getting scared, because he did a silhouette of himself, like...
Okay.
Like, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, Prince did one. Bruce Springsteen did one, which... And I'm fine with Springsteen, but... the audience is, like, 20, you know... It's a young audience, you know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, after Janet Jackson, I thought that was just going to be, you know, the standard performer for,
yeah,
for
well,
eternity.
Yeah, exactly. Though they did have Beyonce recently, so there's that,
yeah,
too.
And for the longest time, I thought we would never even get a female performer.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
One year, I think they had Paul McCartney.
Yeah, that was so weird. It's like, what? You know? It's like the NBA trying to have Big and Rich or something. Oh, wait, that did happen. Never mind.
The Rolling Stones performed when it was in Detroit.
Okay, that was good. But still, it's the Rolling Stones, and, you know, they can't relate to the younger audience. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's so weird. Like, who NBA All-Star Week is having Sting, which is so weird to me, because it's like, dude, he's 60-something, And the only people, like, the young people will probably remember him for, like, being in that P. Diddy song or something like that.
Yeah.
Daddy, whatever. That's what they remember.
What's he going by these days?
Yeah, I don't know. Jeez. But anyway, I guess I'll go with Michael, I guess. Michael Jackson here in Pasadena. I forget, like, somewhere in the early 90s or whatever. So that's the one I'll go for. And, of course, Britney Spears and NSYNC, because Britney was... at her peak at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good time.
Yeah, it really was. Who's your pick for this year's Super Bowl?
Yeah, I'd love to see the Carolina Panthers pull this one out. I enjoy Cam Newton. I enjoy the dancing. Nice, you know,
wait,
new, young, fun team.
Wait a second. As a white woman, you enjoy Cam Newton dancing and having fun? What is wrong with you?
Think of the children.
I know. Yeah, you should tell the children to look at the cheerleaders instead, right?
The nerve of him celebrating a touchdown, you know?
Yeah, I know. Jeez. Blowout, close game, what you got?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Is it a blowout? Is it a close game? What you got?
Oh, God. I could see the Carolina Panthers blowing them out. I would hope for a close game. Just, you know, something interesting, just generally a good game. And honestly, and I won't be disappointed if Denver ends up winning, because that's fine, you know.
I have nothing. You know, the funny thing is that, like, I think I would only be adverse to only, like, the Cowboys winning the Super Bowl. That's about it. Because I was fine with Seattle, even though the Niners, the Seahawks are rivals or whatever, but I was fine with Seattle winning back a couple of years ago. And, you know, I have no problem with the Patriots, no matter how much accusations they get for cheating and whatnot. I don't care. That's cool. You know, so.
Yeah, the one team I did not want to see win this year was Green Bay.
Yeah. I have
division rivalry. That nightmare Hail Mary.
Oh, wow, that's right.
That still stings.
And he did it twice this year, like, which is amazing. Hail Marys, Aaron Rodgers, you know? I mean, you got to give him credit for that, right?
Oh, my, that was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like a fadeaway Hail Mary in the one against Arizona. So, yeah. All right, so any other expectations for the Super Bowl that you have besides, you know, wanting a close game? You think something scandalous is going to happen? Is Beyonce going to do something really weird or Coldplay or whatever? I don't know.
You know, I hope for some funny commercials.
That's all we can hope for, I guess.
Yeah.
I just don't think there can be anything better than the Budweiser Frogs, though.
No. I mean, and we already know it won't live up to that, but just something. Something that gives us, you know, a legitimate laugh.
Yeah, please. Please.
I like smile.
The Doritos commercials. I don't know. Something, you know, just something. So let's end it with this. Bud.
Wise.
Thanks, Joanne.
Bye, Ray Ray.
Game over, yeah!
Moded.